We appreciate you for being here. Thank God for his goodness. We're so thankful for the Lord and all that he does. We appreciate the opportunity he gives us to come, spend time in the word of the Lord. I'd like to just pray for Trayshawn, his parents. His mom passed away. And we just want to pray for him. Would you stand? Everyone, let's stand. We're going to pray for Trayshawn. How many know we serve an incredible God? Amen. Pray for his family, his siblings, his father, that the Lord will just undergird them at this time. As soon as we know anything, we'll let the church know how things are going. But we just want to pray for him and just hold him up in prayer. As the family travels in from different places, that things will all work out. How many know we serve an incredible God? Death is real. When one dies, death shows us that. But the resurrection is just as real and incredible. And that's the hope we have. Yeah. Amen? That's the hope. And I'm thankful we've been talking about that. So let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you that we can go to you at any time. You said that we can come to you. And we trust you and we believe, Lord, that you would undergird Trayshawn's family. God, you see his father, his sisters and brothers. God, his cousins, aunts, uncles, all the people that will come, you see, you know it. I pray, Lord, that you'll use him and Hannah greatly to bring comfort and strength to the entire family. God, that you would have them be able to be someone that stands strong upon your principles, and they can be an encouragement with words that will bring peace. You said, but by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep our hearts and mind through Christ. I thank you, Lord, that that is forwarded to them today by your word. And so I thank you, Lord, that you're strengthening them, you're strengthening their family. God, you're bringing comfort and peace to them at this time. And we just honor you, Lord, that we go to you and you're always faithful at times like this, Lord, to bring the strength necessary to get through this time. So we pray that that is coming to them and is happening in their lives right now, that this too, they'll make it through this time and they'll come out more victorious, stronger than ever before, and being light and salt as you use them. We thank you for it. We give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What a great God. Isn't he good? So I just want them to know we love Trayshawn, love his family. Thank God for him. And y'all just remember to keep them in prayer. We've been in this series, just starting this, in the kingdom of God and thinking about it. I keep thinking about it over and over again. Let me just tell you this. Everybody, listen careful to my words today. This is very important. You need to know about the kingdom. You need to know that that's your hope. It's not just about being safe, feeling better. This is about your future. How many want to do something about your future? If I could give you the answers to your future, people spend a lot of money just try to find out the future. And a lot of people, do you know that out in California, that people who have plenty of money out there, they are freezing their bodies. When they die, they have it in their will. They take them and they freeze them. They freeze their whole body for one day to hope that scientists discover a way to bring them back. And it's X amount of dollars for them to do that. They'll take your whole body and freeze you and put you in a tube or whatever they do. But folks are spending money doing that. Because people want, it's innately in us to want to live. How many want to live? Now, I said last Sunday, sometimes life can be so tough, folks don't want to. But how many here got a lot to live for? Listen, I love my wife, and I love my children, and I love this church, and I love what I get to do. I love it. I don't want to die. I want to live. Can you imagine? Those are just samples of what it'll really be like in the kingdom. So to get to the kingdom, there's only one way to get there. And I said it Sunday. What's the only way you can get to the kingdom? You have to have what? You have to become what? Immortal. Because the human nature under Adam, because of one man, sin entered, and then it was passed on to all men. Can you go in that condition? Nobody gets to go in that condition. If you could go in that condition just because you behave and you do things right, there would have been no need to send a Savior. What's the point in it? If you can go in that condition, just start doing right, behaving yourself, and it'll be fine. But no, he had to send a Savior, and there had to be a price paid in order for you and I to transfer. You know the scripture, we have been transferred into the kingdom of his dear son. For the transfer to happen, how many know that cost? I just want you to know there was a cost for that. There was a cost for that to happen. That cost was when what I did, son, when I opened up. Did that help anybody? When I opened up and showed you, he poured himself out as a ransom. If you, listen, if you pay a ransom for something, that's a cost. You know, they watch on television, they have maybe movies and they'll kidnap somebody and they want a ransom. What's that? What is a ransom? Is there a value to a ransom? To the person who wants it, there's a value, and the one who's given it, he determines if the value of what he's got to give is less than the value of what he wants back. Are y'all here? God said that you and I were valuable. So he gave something that he most valued for what he valued. How incredible that is. But did he leave him in that state? No. He raised him from the dead. And then he gave him the seat at the right hand of the Father. He gave him that seat far above. Not close to. Not almost alike. Far above. Can anybody understand what far above is? Far above all. That's not sort of like. What I'm looking for is when he returns, he'll be far above anything we've ever seen. Far above all principalities, powers, might, and dominion, every name that's named. And gave him to be head to the church, which is his body. So there is a connection to you and I. That's why he said, I'm going to raise up a prophet from among you. How many of you know that Jesus is the prophet raised up from among us? What does that mean, among us? From among you. He'll be just like you. You're human. You're human. He's human. That's why he's heir to the throne of David. He's going to come from that lineage. The scripture's full of that stuff. Not an angel. Not an angel. I hope I was settled that for you last week. Not an angel. To which of the angels said he at any time sit on my right hand? God's been having angels. He created all the angels. But he's only got one begotten son. Does that mean anything to anybody here? Him, he sits on my right hand till I make his enemy his footstool. That's what the time we're waiting for. Remember the scripture said, heaven must retain him. He goes to heaven must retain him until. What are we going to see? Abomination or desolation in the temple. And then he's going to send him. Isn't that amazing? So hopefully that this is something that's exciting to you, this kingdom. And to get there, you have to have immortality. Immortality is something that you and I receive in the resurrection. In the resurrection, you receive that. So this mortal, that's what he said, this mortal shall do what? Take on or put on what? Immortality. So you don't innately have immortality, right? How many understand when I use the term innate? You don't. Who's the only one who innately had immortality? Who's the only one who innately had it? Not was given. Yeshua was given immortality. He was raised from the dead through resurrection. Who innately had it? The Father. He always was immortal. But Jesus gained immortality through what? His death, his burial, and then his resurrection. He gained it through the process. And that's why he says, when is it going to happen for us? First, Christ. Then us at his coming. At his coming. So should we pray the prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That should be what we're praying. Everybody, you should be praying that prayer, thy kingdom come. If your kingdom's already here, what are you praying for it to come for? That's why I believe those who say when Christ said the kingdom's near you, it's at hand. People went off on that, especially in the dispensation era, where they said the kingdom's in your heart. Or the kingdom of God's the church. That's wrong. If that's the case, what's the point praying for something to come that's already arrived? That would be senseless to do that. And listen, Christ is the one who said to pray for the kingdom to come. The kingdom's not here. You say, well, what about the church? Well, the church, we should be participating underneath the principles of the kingdom because we have come into salvation and we have enough scripture to be participating in. But you know as well as I know, the church has participated in more paganism than they've ever done when it comes to the things of God's word. That's what we're breaking from. We should be, because who's the God of this world? Now, we know God. Everybody said, well, God's everywhere. He's over there. The scripture says who the God of this world is, and that's Satan. The devil is the God of this world. That was forfeited in the garden. Perfect world, perfect society. Everything's perfect. The plant, everything's right. The plants are right. What you see now is everything you see. No matter how beautiful the flower is, it's tainted. There's something still. Listen, if you look at the beauty of the flower, but God knows it could be better than that. How many ever seen something beautiful? What about fishing? You go fishing. Sometimes you pull a fish out the water. Things toss. Man, you go. You say not. You do. You get the camera out. You go look at this thing, and it's got color. It's beauty. There's something wrong with it. See, also on our best day, we can dress up. Everything's good. Looks good. Everybody look good. You seen everybody? They all look good. There's something wrong with us. That's why we need a Savior. Do you understand that? But when he held the perfect lamb up, he said, they don't have another one like this. I'm looking all over him. I can't find nothing wrong with this lamb. There's nothing, there's no spot, there's no blemish on this lamb. And this lamb was just like them. So don't tell, this is God, don't tell me if a man loves me that he can't serve me with everything that's in him because this man did. So now I'm going to offer him, the only lamb, I'm going to offer him as a ransom for everybody else. If you can't see love in that, there's something wrong with us. The perfect lamb, when there was nothing he could find wrong, that's the one he said, die. Will you die? I'll die. But let me just ask you this one time. Father, if it possible, in all your wisdom, in all your planning, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. You're so smart. You're the best dad. You know everything. If it's possible, let it pass. But if it can't, not my will. Yours be done. Think about that. This is a serious thing here. The kingdom of God, the man, you don't just get immortality. You don't just get it. Because you were born and then you died and somehow it's automatic. There's no automatic. It's been paid for us. Somebody purchased that for us. And that somebody's Jesus. He did it for all of us. Isn't that incredible? So should I be praying, Thy kingdom come, you better believe it. We ought to be praying that every day. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You would be shocked how many people is against the fact that the kingdom of God is going to be set up on earth. Yet the scripture clearly, this is not a debatable thing. It clearly says that it's going to happen that way. So listen, don't be looking to go somewhere. Do everything you can to prepare for his return and then to come alongside of and be in his administration. Remember what I talked about Thursday night? You want to be in his, how many want to be in his administration? His administration won't get voted in. They're not going to have the Congress milling over and 1,000 questions and just running people crazy. They're not going to happen. His administration, you know what he's going to do? First of all, he's going to call the 12 apostles' attention. 12 apostles, he's going to call their attention and says, hey, remember I told you, I promised you. Remember that promise? If you'll stick with me, if you'll stick it out. You know how many of them stuck it out? Let's go over just a few of them. I can tell you about one, John. Herod called him up out of prison, took his head off and put it on a platter because some girl who was dancing sexy and being sensual asked for it. I'm talking about John's head on a platter. You never going to get me to believe anything other than he's going to call John's name and says, you're going to be over the part of the 12 tribes of Israel. You're going to be in charge of one of them tribes. He said, I'll make you ruler over the 12 tribes. The 12 apostles is going to sit on 12 thrones and they're going to rule the 12 tribes of Israel. You're not going to tell me that Peter, who's been crucified upside down until his insides basically suffocated him. That he won't one day say, Peter, come here. You're over this tribe. Paul, who took his head off. John, banished to the Isle of Patmos after being bald and all, scarred all over his body. John, you understand my point? This is serious business to Jesus. And he made a promise. And he said, if you'll go stick with me. But that promise wasn't just to them, but it's of all to us here. If you'll stick with him, no matter what you face in life, there's going to be some difficulty. I don't know who ever told us that, you know, you go to church and things are just going to get right. Let me tell you, there's going to be difficulty. There's going to be some hard days and some easy days, and it's just what it is. But one thing's for certain, and when you're going with God, he said, I'll be there to the very end. You won't have a single day where I wouldn't have been there with you to the end. That's the hope that we have. We got a promise. And sometimes you feel alone. You feel like nobody's with you, but he's there. You know, Jesus felt that in the garden. And it must have hurt him that the disciples were kind of sleeping, you know, over there. And he come back and said, what, won't you sleep? Then he said, sleep on. But you know what the Lord did after that trouble? And he you know, and all that he's went through, he was ministered to. He was ministered through the relationship he had. And that's what he wants for all of us. So I want to tell you, this is serious. This kingdom series is a serious thing. And we're going to take our time. We're not in no hurry. If I get 5 slides or whatever it is, we got a long time. I put it in for at least 6 months. We're going to learn everything and every scripture that we can find in this Bible concerning the kingdom of God. We're going to take our time. I want you to know about it. And this is important. So these are just some of the things just a quick review. God is not impressed with social standing. How many know that? He's not impressed with social standing, but he is interested in his creation. He is interested in you, whoever you are, wherever you are. He is in search of people who will take his word and instructions through Jesus with utmost seriousness. How many know that? We get concerned with that. We really do. We really don't realize how caught up we are. But we are. We're in a state sometime of impressing. We want to impress. I can see in my life, I look back and I go, man, that was dumb. I shouldn't have done that. Then you do it, then you got to get through it. But you try not to do that again. Amen? Just a couple of things. Immortality is something I talked about last week. Immortality means you cannot die. You cannot die. Immortal means to be indestructible. It means that once you acquire immortality, which you do not have yet, let's remember that, you do not have immortality. There is probably majority believes this, that innately, somehow, your soul will continue to live even when you die. You are your soul. That is you. And you can't die separate from that. Remember the nefesh. Scrape dust from the ground, forms man. How did he form him? In the likeness and image of the one forming. He said, we'll make him in our image and our likeness. Then he breathed. He breathed. Anytime the breath is involved, it has everything to do with what? What does it have to do with? With spirit. It has everything to do with spirit. Because do we have spirit yet? What he created? No, it's just dust. It's just formed. It's a container. There it is. But he got nothing in it. He's about to put something in it. He breathes the breath of, what does he call it? The breath of life. The spirit of God is the thing that's in the creation. Right? That's what's involved. Even when he speaks, what happens when you speak? Put your hand in front of your mouth. Somebody's put your hand and say, amen. Praise. Do praise God. Do that. Put your hand. Go praise God. What happens? What you feel? Do it. Everybody do it. Praise God. The big breath comes out. That's what happens. So when he speaks, let there be light, and there was light. It's the breath of God. It's all in creation. Just breath. It's the words. He speaks those. He said, that's why we have to understand the spirit. He said, it's what Christ said. The words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. It's all through scripture. See, we see that. So he breathes, and now we have something starts to animate. Now it's animated. It's moving. And then it says, man, after the breath is in, man became human. Man became a human being, nefesh. That's connected to the soul. There it is. So what happens when the breath goes? What happens to nefesh? It has to wait. It has to wait. It can't go on. It can't continue on by alone. It's not something created alone. It's in conjunction with. What is it in conjunction with? How am I animated? I'm in conjunction with breath, the spirit of God. It's where my life came from. I understand that. Now, the means of doing that and how God was going to duplicate that over and over and over and over and over again. First, he made man, and he's got to duplicate it, right? So he's not going to just keep making dust frame. You know, he's not going to do that. So what does he do? He says, I need a woman. And then I'll put them together, and they can continue to reproduce. So understand that's the plan that God had in place. Then he provides what? I said, this son, what does he provide for him? Immortality. Where's the provision of that? The tree of life. The tree of life. There it is. So it's an obedient act of trusting what God has purposed and planned for you. He had a purpose for Adam. And he didn't follow that purpose and that plan. So we looked at all of those things. One of the things I wanted to mention again, I mentioned Sunday, you need a strong desire to know the truth. How many know that? You need a strong desire to know the truth. Would it help if I just tell you what it's like? Because I can't really see up there. The light's wrong, so I can't see what's up there or not. You need a strong desire to know the truth. Jesus called it what? Hunger and thirst. How many like that definition that I gave about hunger and thirst? It's the next one there. What does it mean? After you have you're after the right way to understand and act. See, if you're hungering and thirst for righteousness, what does that mean? you hunger and thirst after, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. What does that mean? Here it is. You're seeking righteousness is after the right way to understand and act. Why would you seek the right way to understand and act? Anyone go for that one? Because what we're doing now is wrong. And the way we act is wrong. Or maybe that's just me. No way it can be everybody in here. Did anybody ever act wrong? Anybody ever act wrong? So what are we seeking? How to act right. And on our own, we can't get that. Let me ask you. Let's just do this. Okay. Let's just say, okay, the Bible, we'll set that right there for right now. We're going to let Hollywood teach us how to act. You think we're getting somewhere? What about the news media? They'll tell us how to act. We'll let the left tell us, the right tell us. You can go down the list. We'll just make the list include everybody. At the end of the day, the whole world needs help. The rich can't tell you. The poor can't tell you. Do you understand? There's no. We need somebody to show us how to act right. And that's where Christ came in. He showed us how to act right. You ever notice some of the things he was faced with? He acted right. That's what he said. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after the right way to understand and act. Does that help anybody? Think about it. I'm going to say it again. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after the right way to understand and act. Sometimes we give a general idea of righteousness and we think it's what somebody else done, when in fact it's something that he expects for all of us to do. We seek after the right way to understand and act. So that was something that I wanted to, reiterate. Then I read Matthew 13:44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man has found, and found and covered up, then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. So what he's describing, how important, when I'm talking about the kingdom of God, he tells us in a parable, he says, listen, it's like a hidden treasure. It's like a treasure. I always wanted to find a treasure. I don't know, since I've been a kid. I always think, boy, you know, you're trawling. And I'd sit down while we was trawling. I'd say, boy, wouldn't it be nice? Pull a trawl up and it'd be like a treasure chest. We wouldn't tell nobody. We'd bring that thing. I'd play the whole thing over in my head. Maybe you haven't done that, but that was just some of the things. I'd say, man, we'd bring it. We'd sneak it inside. We'd pull the curtains down. We wouldn't tell nobody. We'd count them. You want a treasure. Because let me tell you, the kingdom of God, it's like a treasure. And when you find it, you don't say, you just go. I mean, I got to buy that field. So you get rid of everything you got because what you had, not important after that. You ever had, how many of you ever remember you struggled in life sometime with giving up certain things? Can I tell you why we do that? Because the kingdom hadn't become real to us. Because when it comes real to you, there's nothing you got that you want that ain't as compared in worth to the kingdom. How many seen your life change and come to that? You wonder, what just happened to me? Maybe I just got it. Maybe I really love the Lord now. It's none of that. What happened was you figured out that the immortality in the kingdom with Jesus, that what else is worth more than that? In forever? That's incredible. That's why the kingdom message has to be preached. We ought to be preaching this everywhere. This ought to be open in line. You're open in line when you go to witness to somebody and say, hey, you ever thought about living forever? I figured it out. They're going to look at you. Let me show you what the Word says. You can live forever. You can have eternal life forever. And I'm not talking about living in this rough, rugged world that we got now. We're talking about in a place where Jesus sits on the throne and he governs. Listen, to me it makes more sense now because we got a governing issue right now. Not just in America. It's in America. No kidding, right? And you can't even turn the commercials on anymore without being told that. But can I tell you, everywhere, in the world. There's governing issues. And people, you don't realize, but people are really, really close to doing really crazy things because of a governing issue. Let me tell you, how many know that in North Korea, this guy, he's a funny looking guy. He really is. I don't care what anybody says. He is. And he's got stuff going on that he's having his own family killed. Because he wants power. He's got to have power. Now, where's that from? God ain't producing that in his heart. He's following the system of the world. The prince and power of the air, the rulers of darkness. I want no matter what I got to do to get rid of it. And it's everywhere. The cartels, everywhere. See, everywhere you go, people want more power. It's a power struggle. And so what they'll do, they'll kill anybody. They'll do whatever they can. Because that's the system they're following. So I want to tell you, it's going on everywhere where people want to rule and they want to tell people what to do, but they're governing from their own head. They're governing from a system that's not from the scripture. As a believer, every one of us, we have to believe in the kingdom of God to be saved. Now that's something that you're not going to hear. That's something you won't hear. I'm going to read it to you in just a little while where it says that. We have to believe in something because people say, well, I'm going to believe in the grace. Well, for by grace are you saved through faith, right? That's the scripture. That's what it says. For by grace are you saved through faith. So why would God have so much grace upon you and me if it was just to, for what? What is it for? It's to bring about his ultimate plan for his kingdom and you to be in it. So you want to talk grace? You better dig in and figure out what that is. That's just not like a big favor. That's what people think. And so what happens, then you think you're somebody. And you think in frames where, well, somebody did it for me, and I thank God for it, but, I'm doing my part too. And statements like that get made. Well, let me tell you have to believe in the system that has been given to us, and that's the kingdom of God. That's the grace of God. If you want to talk about him inviting us into a kingdom after everything we've done and in paying for it, yeah, that's grace. You better believe it's grace. And then you trust in that hope. That's the hope you have. So what are we hoping for is that? So then I read, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking a fine pearl. Upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Remember the man came to Jesus and said, what do I have to do? What do I need to do? And he said, well, we're talking about the commandments. He said, I've kept all of them from my youth. He said, okay, go sell everything you got. Follow me. Put his head down. What was he introducing him to? He said, look, you can do a lot of things, but until you're willing to let everything go and seek the kingdom of God, follow me. Who, if he's following Jesus, what are you going to be? A man of what? A man of the kingdom. Because that's the only thing he showed throughout all of his ministry. Jesus showed us about the kingdom. That's what he preached. That was his message. And so we have to pursue those same things. Let's see. I think just about where I stopped, and again, I just wanted to go over some of this, and I'm adding a few other things to it. So the question is, what did Jesus preach? What did he preach? He preached the kingdom. In Luke 4:43, we went over that time and time again. We're going to continue. We're going to go over that time and time again. That's something you're going to learn. It has to be something that you know. Jesus says, claimed to be the Son of God. If you had asked him who his father was, he would have looked at you in the eyes and said, what would he say? God is my father. Wow. Let me tell you. I'd call that unique, right? Again, Jesus, as you know, claimed to be the Son of God. Did he not? He claimed to be the Son of God. We see it in the scripture. Of course, his favorite way to introduce himself was the what? Son of Man. That was his favorite. That's his favorite term that he used, Son of Man. Being Son of Man, does that disqualify him for being Son of God? No. He's Son of God for real. Like, there was not another man involved in order for him to come into existence. No man was involved for him to come into existence. Because the thing that happened in Mary was by what? Remember that? Holy Spirit. It's a God-breathed thing. So it was God that performed that. So if you ask Jesus who his father was, he would say, God is my father. He wouldn't say Joseph's his father, even though Joseph played that role in helping in his upbringing. But he was not his father. God is his father. So keep that in mind as we go through this. How many people do you know who can say God is my father, meaning that they have no human father? How many of you know? Yes, Jesus had no human father. He had none. No human father. So why did he have to come the way he did? Because he has to be heir to the throne of David. He has to be heir. He can't just pop out of thin air. And those who preach and believe that, there's no scripture to support that idea. He didn't just pop out of air. He had to come through the means in which God said he had to do it, because the promise was to Abraham and to those who were far off. David was heir to Abraham. Then Christ is the heir to David. He had to come that way. He's from the tribe of Judah. If he popped out of thin air, he wouldn't be from no tribe. Listen, he's from the tribe of Judah. Why did he do that? Because there is a connection, a kingdom connection from Abraham. It's connected. The promise was made, the land promise was made to Abraham. I promise you the land. Where's the land? Where's the land at that he promised to Abraham? Where is it? Not geographic location, just in general, where's the land? On what? It's on earth. It's not in heaven. The land is on earth. That's what he promised to Abraham. Then in Hebrews he said he died. Meaning who? Abraham died. And then it says something right on it. Not receiving the promise. What promise? The land promise. So that means God's a liar? No. Don't mean he's a liar at all. What's going to happen to Abraham when Yeshua HaMashiach comes back? He, remember what he said? When you see Abraham, remember that? I don't know if that does something for you, but that does a little something for me, makes a little jump right there on the inside of me. He said, when you see Abraham in my kingdom, when you see those guys, that's a good indicator for all of us. Man, can you imagine, brother, when you see Abraham? Isn't that something? And he tells us to look for that. It's not something that he's going to sneak up on. He said, you watch. So he gives us a little taste of what's going to happen in the kingdom. He takes his disciples up and he's going up the mountain. They're walking along. All of a sudden, he's changed. This is Jesus. He's changed. There's a transfiguration. Now, how does it appear to them? The appearance of that is a vision. They see it as a vision. And he's changed. Who appears? Two people appear. Moses. Moses appears and Elijah. Okay, so think about this. I want you to think about this. I thought Moses died. I thought the angels buried him. Is that what he referred to? They take him up and they buried him. They wouldn't look for him. They couldn't find him. He was buried. What do you bury stuff for? Because it's what? Dead. But yet they see him. He says, that's how it's going to be in the kingdom. Because those guys, they're all coming back. Every one of them. Isn't that going to be amazing? I read about those guys, all the wonderful things they did. You think he's going to leave them dead in the grave? No way. Okay. So, The difference here, I want you to hear, the difference between Adam and Jesus is that the life of Jesus began in the womb of Mary, his mother. The life of Jesus began in the womb of his Mary mother, in the womb of Mary, his mother. Adam was made from the dust of the ground. Both Adam and Jesus are called Son of God. One's made from the dust. The other one began in the womb of Mary, his mother. Think about that. So I want you to understand that there's a difference. But it doesn't make them where they're different. Was Adam a human being? Of course he was. If you know, we're human. If you wanted to know, man, I wonder what Adam was like. Don't wonder no more. Just look around. He was a human being. I wonder what Jesus was like. Don't look around. The difference, there was a difference. One obeyed, the other disobeyed. And the price had to be paid for disobedience. The other paid a price without disobeying. Isn't that amazing? That's why the grave can't hold him. Listen, resurrection had to come because the laws of God could not be broken. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Did the grave have victory and a sting up to the point that Jesus broke that? Absolutely did, because people that died were dead. So the grave has power because of the rules of God. You can't go around those rules. They're laws that have been put in motion. But when Jesus died, the laws could not, that was still there. They applied. They had no power over him because there was no sin. Why? Because the sting of death is what? What's the sting of death? Sin. Because he had no sin, and even though that law is there, God never changed the rules. No changing of the rules. Same rules. There was the reason that resurrection had to come to fruition. Because death couldn't hold him, there was no sin. Now that he was raised, this is what he said in Corinthians. He says, Christ the first fruit. Right? He's the first fruit. He's the raised, immortal. First human being to ever hit heaven at the right hand of the Father in full immortality. Isn't that amazing? So when is our turn? He tells us, right, the next verse. He said, then you and I at his coming. That's why we ought to be praying. Thy, what is he coming for? To set the kingdom up. Thy kingdom come. Come, kingdom come. That's the quick. And it doesn't matter if dead or alive, right? So that shouldn't be the thing that moves. Dead or alive is not what moves us. But it's going to flow in our lives. So keep that in mind because these are important principles. Now, Jesus was an impassioned preacher of what he called the gospel, the good news about the kingdom. On Thursday, I covered some of these verses, and I want to go through them. I won't be able to do what I did Thursday night, kind of let people ask questions and all this. But here's some scripture I want to give you. I told you I'd give you some scripture. This will kind of help you start to study for yourself as we get moving in this series. Luke 4:43. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God in other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. I was sent for this purpose. That's Jesus' words. That's what he did. He was a preacher of the kingdom of God. Before he ever mentioned death, burial, and resurrection, he preached the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. That's what his message was. All about the kingdom. It wasn't until much later that he talked about he would die. Up until that point, he preached the kingdom. So that's something to keep track of when you're going through this study. Luke 5:1. Very important verse. Very important. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the Lake Gennesaret. The word of God also refers to the kingdom. Now, so when you see the word of God in studying, the word of God, that is not a general term of the Bible. How many understand that? So if you say, remember I gave an example to you. I'm going to say, I'm going to Louisiana. Okay, I'm going to Louisiana. Would I go to Europe to do that? No, where would I go? United States. I would go to the United States. Now, but I'm telling you that when I say the Word of God, I want you to understand that that meant a very specific place in the United States. Where is that? Louisiana. Okay? So you're not just traveling the United States. You're going to Louisiana, which is in the United States. When you see this in Jesus' teaching, when you see the Word of God, he's not talking about the Bible as a whole. He's talking about the message of the kingdom. Remember that, because that's what he talked about. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing him to hear the Word of God, that's the kingdom right there. And now, we will go deep into that, I can assure you, as we go through this study. Since the gospel of the kingdom is the heart of the core of everything Jesus said and did, it is natural for those in the know to refer to that great saving gospel message about the kingdom simply as the Word of God, which means the message or the gospel message. So if they talk about the message or the gospel message, you'll see that in your study. You'll come across these things. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Now, after John had been taken into custody, of course, that's John the Baptist. He's taken into custody, and Herod puts him in jail. He's put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching what? What? The gospel of God. That's not a term you hear thrown around very much. The gospel of God? Right? Wouldn't that be something important? The gospel of God. How many has heard the term Paul's gospel? How many has ever heard that in church? Paul's gospel. How many has ever heard the gospel of grace? You've heard those terms, right? But you don't hear this term a lot. The gospel of God? You mean God's got a gospel? Well, yeah. Kind of a start one. That's what you start with, right? What do you start with? If you got Paul's gospel, do you start with that one or God's gospel? Because Paul got his from somewhere. Where did he get it? God's gospel. We'll see that later on. All right, so the gospel of God. And say in verse 15, watch what he says. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Let's finish it. The gospel of God. Am I within the framework of studying and how the hermeneutics of the framework of Scripture? If I'm reading this, verse 14 and 15, I'm within the framework that when I say believe and repent the gospel, I can finish that with of God. Because I'm within the context of that is what the point is being made. Is that a truth or not? When you study, make sure you emphasize those points. Because let me, when you go to tell somebody, they're going to say, oh, yeah, but brother, no, you stop them. You say, listen. The scripture says right here, now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of God. What was Jesus preaching? The gospel of God. And saying, quote, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. All right? We went over that Thursday, won't do it. But, you know, whole doctrines have been put where the kingdom's already here. It's in your heart, so it's done. Wrong. They're wrong. They have no scripture. You got one, the kingdom of God's at hand. Go find it in the other gospels, and then where you're going. Show me in the prophets. Well, I can't. All right, just go to Revelation. Show me there. Well, I can't. No kidding. You can't, because it's not there. So they take one little thing, and that's what happened. But watch what he said. The kingdom of God is at hand. Now watch what he says. You want to get saved? How many want to be saved? How many think maybe Jesus should be the one? You know, this preacher, he's preaching. He's going to tell us how to do it. And every other preacher need to line up with what he's saying. He's going to tell us how to be saved. Repent. I mean, that's very important. What do you got to do? Repent. What does that mean? What does it mean to repent? You know, you're going like this, and you completely turn and go the other way. You're turning from that. I'm no longer following that system. Because we're following a system. We're in a system. The system is a system of man. It's been passed on to all generations. We're turning from that. Now we're following the system Jesus teaches. So he says, repent and do what? Believe the gospel, not believe in. You know you can believe in something and not believe it? Listen. The Bible. All right? You believe. How many believe the Bible? You believe this is a Bible. All right, that's a Bible. You believe in it. See, people believe there's a Bible, but they don't believe in the Bible. People believe there's a kingdom, but don't believe in the kingdom. People believe a gospel, but don't believe in the gospel. They don't take it. That's what it says. That's what I'm from here on out. That's what my message will be. From here on out, I'm going to identify with that. That's important. So believe in the gospel. Believe the what? The gospel message. That's what he's saying. Believe the gospel message. Believe the kingdom message. That you there's a kingdom. Acts 20. I tell you what, let me skip some of these because I'm going to say them again, so I don't want to be repetitive. And I only have a couple more minutes. All right, let me give you these. I gave these on Thursday, and I took my time through them and talked about them. I want to give all these to you. How many practices on your eight kingdom your kingdom tests? There's eight kingdom texts in the book of Acts. Eight of them. Eight kingdom texts in the book of Acts. You need to know them like you know John 3:16. It's going to be hard for you to witness and to continue to believe for yourself if you don't know those texts. You got to know about them. Now, I'm not saying that you have to memorize them, but they have to be something that comes when you're talking to somebody, you got to be able to go to them. Let me show you this. 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 Because these are key verses. So let me cover these. Let's see if we can go right through them real quick, and then we're going to close. This is the eight kingdom texts in the book of Acts. All right, and I want you to get each one. Acts 1:3. What is that scene of what's going on in 1:3? To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days. 6 weeks. 6 weeks he appears to them. What is he talking about? His six-week-long message. So if you want to talk about series, people doing series, I didn't introduce that. I didn't come up with that. Jesus did. Paul had long series. Long series on one topic. This is not something that, he just likes to do that. That's kind of his thing. Listen, this is what the Lord Jesus did. 6 week series on what? What he did it on? Speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Maybe, just maybe, that's important. Yet, we have very few messages in the church world today on the kingdom. We're talking about other stuff. Not enough preaching about the kingdom of God. How many would agree with that? It's hard to find that in general. Let me tell you. Later on in the study, I'm going to give you documented quotes out of books, different books, where people who have been in ministry for a long time, church planters, these guys are well-known people. You're going to remember the name. I'm going to give it. As a matter of fact, I'll put it on the slides, and you'll see these quotes. But one in particular that sticks out to me, he was asked a question. He's a church planter, plants church all over the United States and the world, planted hundreds and hundreds of churches. He was asked a question about the kingdom of God, and he said, going through his barrel of messages and those of the that he was associated with, he said, I can't recall a single time I preached about the kingdom in 30-something years. So this is his own quote. His own quote. He said, I can't remember a single message where I preached about the kingdom. Yet, it's littered with it. Why? He's asking himself now because he's come to realize there's a big error, a grave mistake. What are we doing? How is that possible that he could be that learned, have that many letters behind his name, and not have preached a single message about the kingdom of God, yet has planted churches all over the world? You think maybe the devil has been out to destroy and hide and kidnap the minds of even the most learned theologians? Think about that. So let me tell you, we ought to be so thankful. God's been good to us. He has been good to us. He found us on a peninsula surrounded with water everywhere, but he found us. And I'm thankful for it. He deserves all the glory, all the praise and the honor, because if it wouldn't have been for God, in no possible way we'd know any of this. Amen? So he preached concerning the kingdom of God for 6 weeks. Very important. Acts 1:6. That's the second one. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, that's Lord Messiah, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? Why would they ask if they had no anticipation of a kingdom to be restored? And remember the key word. What's the key word here? Restore. Can you restore something that never existed? You restore what's been already in existence. When was the kingdom in existence then? From the very beginning. From the very beginning. They were told. They knew the biblical Torah. They read Torah. They were well-versed in Torah. They knew five books of the Bible. Most of them that grew up in that upbringing know the five books by heart. They knew exactly what the prophet said. They knew that. So that would be a legitimate question for them to ask the Lord, Lord Messiah. And they recognize him as Lord Messiah here. Or is it the time you're going to restore the kingdom back to Israel? Think about that. Number three, Acts 8:12. But when they believe Philip preaching the good news about the what? They believe Philip doing what? He's doing what? Preaching the good news about the kingdom of God. And the name of Jesus Christ, they were doing what? Being, notice that, being baptized, men and women alike. That's why the water baptism is so important. We shouldn't fight over water baptism. He said, we're going to argue. We shouldn't really argue about that. This is Philip. This is the Lord. Listen, Philip's preaching. The Lord Jesus, Lord Messiah, is already at the right hand of the Father. Philip's still preaching the good news about the kingdom. And then what's happening when he's preaching the good news? What are people doing? They're being saved. They're being saved because they're doing what? Two things they're doing. He's preaching the good news about the kingdom. They're repenting and believing the kingdom message. They're believing in the gospel of the kingdom, of the kingdom of God, or God's gospel. That's all to say. They're believing in God's gospel. And what's happening? They're being saved. So what's the indication that in this they're being saved? Being baptized, men and women alike. Isn't that amazing? So I want you to know that that was something that was going in baptism. It wasn't long right after the apostles broke out. Gnosticism, all this stuff creeping in the church. What's happening? They're saying, oh, you don't be no baptism, no resurrection. And it just got more pagan, more pagan, more pagan, more pagan. And no wonder when church fathers get together in the councils, they come up with silly ideas. There's a reason for that. You can't steer away from the truth and then come up with the truth. You come up with something, but it's far away from the truth. So hopefully that you understand these are important. Acts 14:21 and 22. After they had preached the gospel to that city, they had made many disciples, and they returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch. Verse 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. There it is. Another one, kingdom text we see in these in the book of Acts. They've done what? Preach the gospel. What gospel is that? Well, we keep reading. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. It's all linked. It's all tied together. And hopefully you see this because we're going to need this establishment of scripture as we go through the rest of the teaching. Acts 19, verse 8. And he entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. Notice that. He enters the synagogue, continuing and speaking out boldly for how long? 3 months. 3 months. On this topic. You think maybe, just maybe, we got Lord Messiah, Jesus Christ. He speaks for 6 weeks on that stuff. Not to mention out before he died. Before he died. This is what he talked about all the time. But he reiterates, and listen, he reiterates, and for the first time ever, an immortal, think about that, he's in immortality, Think about it. He, immortality, he speaks. And now with a great authority. And then listen, he didn't just do that. He fellowshiped with them. They had meals together. It's all through the scripture. You see that. That's after he resurrected. By many convincing proofs. And constantly going over the things about the kingdom of God. So I want you to see these. And again, I'm running through these. I did these on Thursday. You can get that on Thursday. We were going a lot slower in this. Acts 20, verse 24 and 25. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. Okay? I talked about this on Thursday. I want to reiterate this again. You're going to come up with the gospel of grace if you stop. That's how it happened. That's why it's so prevalent today. And it's the number one gospel teaching of all Christians in the United States. I want you to hear me. The number one gospel preaching of all Christians in the United States is that gospel of grace. Right? Well, what is that? What is the gospel of grace? Well, what we're going to do here is we're going to read the next verse. How many think that's important? The next verse. And now, behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. What is the gospel of grace? The kingdom. Is it grace? You better believe it's grace all over it that you and I get invited into the kingdom of God in a state of immortality. Isn't that that's exciting to me. And it makes it more exciting because you ever figured, you know what, if I get to heaven, you know, what we're going to do? I've had people ask, well, what are we going to be doing up there? Well, we'll see everybody. Yeah, uh-huh. That only takes one day. Wow. What are we going to do? But in the kingdom, there's a lot to do because there's going to be a world with people. And there's going to be administrative duties. And if you've done nothing now, you'll be doing nothing then because you haven't been found faithful. Now watch this. That's a dangerous thing to not do nothing because also people who do nothing, they get tossed out. You don't want to be there. Because once you're tossed out, you don't get invited back in. That's final. You remember the sower? I mean, the parable of the talents being given out? And he gave the one talent, and then he gave five and gave ten. It was the one guy, he had the one talent, and he said, you know, I know you're a hard man, exacting where you didn't do anything. You reap and you don't even sow. He's telling him, what are you doing? So I was afraid. So I just buried mine. He said, what good for me to do anything? You're going to do what you want. Basically, if you want me to interpret it for you, that's what he said. Didn't pay for me to do nothing. You're going to do what you want. Well, you don't get ready for the kingdom by just sitting around doing nothing. That's not how you get ready. But what you do, how you interact, the way you act. Remember what our job is? Seek first the kingdom of God and his, what? Righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What is that? How to act right. Remember that? That's what we're supposed to be doing. That makes you an active participant in doing everything you can. And some people say, well, you know, I don't preach. Did he call everybody to preach? No. I don't prophesy. Did he say, we'll all prophesy? We'll all speak in tongues? Go to scripture. We'll all do those things? He's asking it in what kind of thought? He's asking it, but it's rhetorical because he knows the answer already. And the answer is no, not everybody. Not everybody's going to do those things, but there's something that everybody needs to do. What is that? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, how to act right. We're all doing that. And we do that, it's going to be absolutely amazing. time just don't, you know, you got so many things you want to say. And we're going to revisit a lot of these scriptures again and again and again and again. Acts 28, 23. And when they had set a day for Paul, they came to him at his lodging in large numbers. They set a day for Paul, and they came to his lodging in large numbers. That's a day. That can be any day. It could have been a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They set a day for Paul, came to him at his lodging. What is he going to do? And he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God. Explaining to them by solemnly testifying. Let me tell you, talk about commitment. He's committed to the kingdom message. Solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God. Very important. And trying to persuade them concerning Jesus. If you're going to persuade anybody about Jesus and you don't preach the message Jesus preached, you're going to have a difficult time. You can persuade them about him, but you're going to have to make Jesus a different kind of guy. That's exactly what we find happening around the world. The Jesus we're looking at here is completely different than the one that everybody else is talking about. Because the one we're talking about, his message is about the kingdom. The others say, oh, you know, he's just a good guy. He loves you no matter what you do. You just come on in. It's, you know, just be your best. Join the church, and they're missing the message. No kingdom, no immortality. No, it's never talked about. It's never talked about. You don't need it, really, because it's innately in you. Innately in you, you die, you don't die. Right? You die, but don't. It's innate. And that's exactly what's being taught. That's not, we have to be careful. How many want, if you're going to teach about Jesus, you ought to teach the stuff he taught. Don't be speaking words that he didn't say. So what Paul, was Paul careful to do that? Listen, they came to his lodging, large numbers, explained to them and solemnly testify about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them about who? Concerning Jesus. And for both, how did he do it? What did he use? What was his tools? From both the law of Moses and from the prophets, from morning until evening. Because let me tell you, this is not a subject you can just do in a few minutes. From morning until evening. How'd you like if we just kept on going until about 10 o'clock tonight? That would be unsettling. Right? But my point is this. I'm not going to do that. I'll lose you. I don't want to lose you. Whether you believe it or not, I like you. I like all of you. But my point is it takes that long to do it. How many understand when you're going to get into the subject, this is not like a one-line thing. It's not a one-line. If it's a one-line, he could have got him in and said, okay, guys, here, come through. Here you go. A little track here. Jesus loves you. Go on. Well, they know that. But the devil hates me. And the moment I get out and I pick my track up, he beats me upside the head and I don't know how to make it. Let me give you something to make it. He's explaining the kingdom. He says, this is what you're fighting for. This is what you're going to be doing. This is exciting. It's about immortality. It's not, some people think, well, it's not really a good trade-off. You know, I got to go to church. I got to go sing. You know, what's the trade-off? It's not about going to church. Church is what you do because you're just so happy that somebody told you that you can have immortality. You're going to be in the kingdom, ruling and reigning with Christ. Isn't that amazing? See, that's the hope. This is the stuff we do because we're so excited about it. So how many want to share this gospel? It's going to take time, morning to evening. It's going to take some time. You got to keep doing it. Don't just give one-liners. Acts 28:31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness unhindered. That's what he done. Still going on in that. Jesus was the first and authoritative preacher of the saving gospel, and it is quite untrue. In fact, a disastrous mistake to say that Jesus' gospel was meant for the Jews only. Disastrous. As a matter of fact, everything that I've ever remembered, you always veered away from anything that had, if somebody said Passover, Jews. Right? We keep what? Easter. Y'all didn't even want to say the word no more. Huh? I mean, y'all are done. Y'all are done. You know? You say, look, here's a good one everybody can relate to. You say bagel. Jews. Biscuits. That'd be us right there. We eat biscuits. You see, I'm just giving an example. Right? If this is true. You go somewhere in the bagel shop, that's more Jewish. They eat a bagel. We eat what? Biscuits. So people relate to different, you know, it's how you grew up. And so I just want to, but don't go around saying that this is meant for Jews only. It's not for Jews only. The kingdom message is not for Jews only. Passover is not for Jews only. This is for the believer. So keep that in mind. And you can go on and on, right? You can almost pick out nationality by their menu. It is meant for everyone. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 is a verse which everyone should memorize. Salvation was first preached by the Lord Jesus. Everybody should memorize Hebrews. Salvation was preached by who? The Lord Jesus. And this is we'll close with this. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It's a great question, right? It was declared at first by the Lord. It was declared first by the Lord. This was Lord Messiah here. And it was attested to us by those who heard it. That's how we got. We didn't get it directly from the Lord in person. We see what he said by the writers. But it was attested to us in person. That's something that you got to remember. Because somebody made it through all that time. And they kept the faith. So you got it in person. Each one of you got it in person. It could have been, how many remember you? Somebody who spoke to you and shared that with you? That was in person. They were sharing the things of God, but that was in person. That's something that it ought to do something for you because it made it from all that time to now. That's concrete information. That's historical facts. And that's something that does so much for me when I think about it. In person, somebody... I remember when they preached and told me about the Lord Jesus and told me about what happened to them. And then you get a turn to do that in person. You share the gospel of the kingdom. It's been passed on from generation. So who declared salvation first? Again, you say, well, what about those before him? They were speaking of a promise. They were speaking of a promise, but only one could speak it like he spoke it because he had to first pay the price. Once it was paid, he rose from the dead, and then he comes out in immortality, and what does he do for 6 weeks? He preaches the gospel of the kingdom. First, who else preached it? It went on past them. Peter preached it, Paul preached it, Philip preached it, John preached it. They just continued to do it, and the people continued to do it. So I appreciate you being attentive to the scripture today. We're going to continue in this. It's going to be where it gets to sections where we'll do different lessons, and we'll have it broke down out of way. Definitely going to cover 7 different lesson topics dealing with the kingdom of God. So we're still in the introduction, and I hope that this is something that you're excited about and excited about sharing with other people because this is important. This, by far, and I said this to several people. I've been talking to different people online, people who's reaching out, wanting to have more information about what's happened. I reached, and I told them, I said, this by far is the most important series of messages I've ever done in my entire life. And I tell you what, it is exciting. Exciting. I just finished last night the rest of this study. And again, stuff will be added to it as we go because I'm going to continue to look at this. But this should be something that will carry us through most of the year. It's going to be exciting. The scripture is just piles of scripture. And we're going to soon get on the prophets, with the prophets, and take it from there and then come back into the New Testament. But I appreciate you for being here. Thank God for you. Let's remember to pray for one another. Continue to encourage each other in the Lord. Remember the announcements. Also, the slides were made for the updated calendar for the rest of the year. And everything is there, so you can have the dates ahead of time for all the events that's going to be coming up. So the next one to happen is the Passover meal. We're going to have Passover meal here together. That's going to be that one-night event, and then we'll go into Unleavened Bread. In the middle of Unleavened Bread, we have First Fruits, and then we'll finish up the Unleavened Bread. But it's all so Passover and Unleavened Bread and First Fruits is all together. that'll be taking place here soon. So that's what we're preparing for. We're going to be going into some more teaching on that as we go along. So I really appreciate all of you for being here. I thank God for you. Let's remember to also write down on your calendar the events that are being that'll be traveling. One being the Amish trip that's going to be coming up, so we can give them. They're going to need a.